In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. Father, you taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of the Holy Spirit. And that same Spirit help us to relish what is right and always rejoice in his consolation. We ask you this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
is now, and shall be, world without end. Amen. Christ our King.
Thy kingdom come.
Virgin most prudent, Mary, Mother of the Church.
Pray for us.
May the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can you hear me in the back of the room at this tone? Oh, fantastic. It's a nice thing to have to say in a retreat, I have to say. Our reflections over the course of this time of renewal are going to be taken from the spiritual exercises with the nuance of growing in our life of prayer, meditation, and contemplation. That is how you can, with the wonderful personality that God has given you, the unique gifts that you have in your mind, your heart, your memory, your imagination, everything that makes you you, how we take this and we open it. We open ourselves to God. That's what the retreat's about. We will do that through the contemplation of Scripture, Scripture passages that follow the dynamic of the spiritual exercises, which for those who may be doing these for the first or the second time, follow creation, our personal creation, our fall, and the glorious, glorious incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has come to redeem us, heal us, draw us closer to God, heal the rupture between ourselves and God. So we'll follow this dynamic of the spiritual exercises as we look at how to pray. Fruit of the meditation, the fruit. So the fruit is something that we want to ask God for. What can we ask God for at this beginning of this retreat? Here's what I propose. Of course, each and every single one of you come with your own, your own petitions, the things that are on your heart, and I want to respect each one of that. So just know that our Lord likes to listen. So whatever you want to offer to him, please do that. But here's what I propose as the fruit: to be open to God's love. Open in all capitals. That's how I have it written in my notes. Open in all capitals and underlined. You can even, if you have different color markers, use another colored marker to write this down. Open. Let me be a little poetic and say that Pope Benedict XVI says that you can distill the whole spiritual life down to one word in sacred scripture, Ephrathatha. Spell that. Just kidding. Ephrathatha. That means to be open. What God said to the deaf as Jesus heals the deaf man. He says, be open. Be open. To be open to God's love. How do we open this? Open our heart, our mind, our memory, our will, our past, everything that I am, I open wide to God. Thought number two, place all of the concerns of your heart at the beginning of this retreat before the Blessed Sacrament. Just send it all there. Give it all over to our Lord. The worries, the burdens, the concerns, all of those things. Whatever it is that we are carrying into this retreat that is in some way like a pebble in our shoe, just hand it over to the Lord. Hand it over to Him. That's the petition. The scripture passage for our contemplation, we will use one of my favorites, Luke 9:29-36. Luke 9:29-36. As we do this, I want, just before jumping into this first talk, to mention about how I propose that you pray with scripture, okay? So this is how I propose that you do that. Number one, as you read Luke 29:36, read the passage three times. God likes the number three, after all. It's three in one. Read the passage three times. The first time, read the passage slowly. Slow it down. Pretend you are from Georgia. Okay. You are a southerner. You are there on your front porch, rocking in a rocking chair with some sweet tea. Slow. I remember once I was trying to get down to Old St. Pat's, running through Grand Central Station, and this couple came up to me and they said, "Can we talk with you? We have a couple questions about St. Patrick's Cathedral." And I said, based on how long it took you to just formulate that question, no. Anyway, we want to be like these southerners. Reread the passage slowly, familiarizing ourselves with it. And if you are alone, because this is a silent retreat, read it in a whisper. There's something about a whisper that is magical. Just makes everything sound so, well, like a whisper, but so like special, right? You read the passage in a whisper to yourself, narrating it to yourself, so that you are savoring. Oh, that word savoring. You're a southerner, right? You're going to savor each word. Savoring each word, giving each word its due importance. And when we are reading sacred scripture, let us remember that each one of these words is inspired by God. So the due importance of each word is, well, pretty important, right? Savor each word, giving it its due importance. And as you are reading the passage in a whisper, giving each word its due importance, notice, here's prayer. Notice what is happening within you. What is stirring beyond all of the noise on the surface? What is happening within in the silent recesses of your heart where you are alone with God? That's what we're looking for. Deep breath. Slow it down. Whisper. noticing the interior. I could just turn off the mic and leave. That's all you need to know. But that's only the first time through the passage. Second time, though, read it again, slowly, to yourself, allowing a word or a phrase to jump out at you. When it does, stop. You stop. And you allow the phrase to speak to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You just be before it. Be before it. You don't have to do anything. Just are with God and His Word and the Holy Spirit. No need to be the protagonist. It's like radiation we just receive. It's like the sunlight gently falling upon you. It's like the cool breeze. You just let it happen. Before what is moving within you and the word of Scripture, it's gentle. It's like blowing on the flame of a candle without blowing it out. Just there with the Lord, listening. You don't have to be concerned about figuring out what God is trying to tell you. You don't have to analyze it. You just let yourself go before the Word of God, allowing it to sink deeper and deeper into your heart. Third time through the passage, visualize the passage with the eye of the imagination. Engage all five of your senses in the passage, from your head to your toes. Your head to your toes. All of your senses in the passage. Read it in this way. You see it. You hear it. You feel it. You smell it. You taste it. Whenever something strikes you, in the contemplation, you stop and just be before it. You let yourself enter into the passage. So, summary. We familiarize ourselves with the passage. Then we ponder it. Then we visualize it. Somewhere in that process, something will start to stir within. And as it does, we stop. Congratulations. You are all now experts in contemplation. If nothing jumps out at you, if nothing pops, don't worry. Do not worry. Be not afraid, as Jesus says. God has His time. He has His time. He's just usually not in a rush. But He has His time. You only have to do one thing. Just one. You already know what it is. I told you. Be open. That's what we do in mental prayer. We open ourselves to God, open mind, open heart, open senses, open emotions, and we wait with expectant faith. Every meditation is an advent, waiting on the Lord who will come. Okay, so here's some considerations to facilitate your reflection. These thoughts are far secondary in importance. I want to underline this, far secondary in importance to your personal encounter with God. So what is happening here is not to go study what the preacher says point by point as if it is a homework assignment. No, what I say here is meant to help lead you into your own personal contemplation of Scripture. That's the difference. I realized as the years were going by that what was happening on the retreats was people were going to study the notes. That's a good, that is well and good and worthy to be praised. It's good. But there's a difference between studying the notes and praying. Praying. So these thoughts are far secondary in importance to your personal encounter with God. They are only important and as much as they help you to engage the scripture passage with the wonderful personality that God has given you. Treat them like the background music at a restaurant. Jazz, classical music, so forth. 1980s. That's what they play at the grocery stores now, is 1980s music. I was delighted to hear the Talking Heads the other day as I was shopping for cereal. Anyway. It's the background music that sets the scene, creates the ambiance, I hope, for prayer. So here are the points. Number one, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. Jesus took Peter, James, and John. When you read these names, see yourself there. See yourself there. See, we don't want to only reflect on what happened. We want to reflect on...
To do that, you'll need to be online.
Okay, well, that's the first time this ever happened to me. We don't want to reflect on what happened. We want to reflect on what is happening as I am contemplating the scripture. That's meditation and contemplation. It's making my own. So when we read Peter, James, and John, we read our own names there. We see ourselves there. See ourselves there. Literally, we see with the eye of the imagination. I'm there. I see Jesus looking at me. I see it. I hear him invite me. So you notice, this is the meditation, this is the contemplation. I'm not reading. I'm hearing the passage, seeing the passage. I'm paying attention to what it invokes within me. Allow yourself, we're allowing ourselves to feel in our heart his invitation to me here, today, now, this heartbeat, this spot of time, this moment in your life, this stage of your life, today. What does it mean for you today to be invited by the Lord up a high mountain with him?
To do that, you'll need
All right,
to be
that's
online.
That's getting annoying. I'm going to have to figure out how to turn this off. I've never used this iPad at that. I always told you there's imperfections and distractions. I just didn't think it was going to come from this. Oh, okay. It's nice to know that Siri takes my rhetorical questions seriously. Those are there. Okay. The mountain. The mountain. What does that symbolize for you?
To do that, you'll need to be online.
Okay, this is getting real. Hold on 1 second. I am going to put it on airplane mode. Siri.
Uh-huh.
No. How did you go away?
Hey, Siri, turn off.
Hey, Siri, turn off. Turn off, Siri. Go bye-bye, Siri.
Hey, Siri, turn off, listen.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I can't help with that.
I was just listening to a podcast on how emerging technology is disturbing our lives, and this is a great example of this. Okay. Everybody study your notes. Okay.
There we go.
Okay. That was fun. All right. Jesus took Peter, James, and John. The mountain. The mountain. This is the next point. What does the mountain symbolize for you? What does it symbolize for you? It can be a metaphor for many things, right? This is your own personal prayer. There are as many answers to this question as there are people in this room. So when Jesus looks upon you, and you see his gaze upon you, and he invites you up this high mountain, what is the mountain that he's inviting you up? For me, the mountain is reaching the heights in your spiritual life. It's a metaphor for the great plan that God has for you. It's a metaphor for your relationship with God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and who is offering you this meditation. It's Jesus' invitation to reach the heights. Never count ourselves short. Never count ourselves short. Never think that because the years have passed and we're still seemingly plodding along in our spiritual life, that the heights are not for us. I will tell you a little secret. I am too. Good prayer is just beginning again each day up the mountain. And then, when you least expect it, the Lord carries you, and it's amazing. And that is not, my dear friends, just for priests or nuns or bishops or popes. In fact, as the years go by, I wonder if any of them really achieve it. No, it's for all of us, all, equally. And for you in particular, in your state of life. So let us get far behind us that the spiritual life is only for those who have been consecrated to God. No, 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 no. No, absolutely not. That's not the Second Vatican Council. It is an equal playing field. All are called to the heights in their state of life. You are not called up this high mountain apart from your lay life. But here it is. In the reality and circumstances of it right now. Not apart. In the reality and the circumstances of your life right now. So the invitation is not to go someplace apart, but to see and embrace the invitation right in front of you. As you read this passage, you will see that the disciples descend back to ordinary life. And whoa, what an ordinary life it was. They meet a possessed man at the bottom of the mountain. It's quite a shocking return from the heights of the spiritual life. It's a splash of cold water on the face. No, this is real life. Real life with its highs and its lows. But it is for you in your circumstances to reach the heights. It's what God's plan is for you. What does it look like for you? Ah, that's your meditation. Number three. Climbing the mountain, climbing the mountain. Hiking up a mountain takes a lot of work. But the work here is not physical effort. The work is to be open. From this to that. Always. That's the work. It's not any more complicated. That's the mountain. That's how we travel the mountain. Thing is, we fill up our backpacks. I fill up my backpacks? I have no idea what you do. But I fill up my backpacks with lots of rocks. Things that I picked up along the way. Heavy rocks, beautiful rocks, unnecessary rocks. I even have a rock from Calvary. There were a few benefits of everybody fleeing the Holy Land. One of them was nobody was in the Holy Sepulchre, and we could sneak down to Calvary. Anyway. But we fill up our backpacks with many different things. These things wear us down. Worries, concerns, sins, fears, memories. It's part of being human. We bring this to our prayer because it's part of who we are. But we need not carry them alone. We hand them over to the Lord. We hand them over to the Lord. You don't have to carry them up the mountain. Jesus will. He carries the weight for us. That's what we see every time we pray the third station, second station. Jesus receives his cross. What do we put in our backpack? What God has done. His words of Scripture. His lights, his inspirations to me. What I just shared with you is my own contemplation, seeing myself going up the mountain with my backpack. It's my own personal meditation of Scripture. Jesus changes in appearance. This is our last point. Jesus changes in appearance. The Lord is always doing something great. He will rend open the heavens, as it says in this passage, and come down in his own time, in the fullness of time, for you and for me. Each day is a climb up the mountain. Each day is a climb up the mountain. Each moment of prayer is a climbing up the mountain. Isaiah 23:6-9. On this mountain, the Lord will prepare for you a rich feast of food, a choice wine for all the peoples. At every stage along our life, there is a new way within which Jesus will be transfigured. A new way, a different way, a new, novel nuance of the personality of the Lord that is so vast, so wonderful, that we will spend all of eternity contemplating it and never reach the end. That's what heaven is, a continual contemplation and absorption in the love of God. So we can never plumb the depths of the personality of Jesus. This transfiguration happens at different stages of our life here and now, where Jesus wants to accompany, wants to love, wants to strengthen, wants to console, wants to fill, and wants to guide us here, now, today. Each retreat is like reaching the top of this mountain, we hope, in some ways, offering a new perspective. A new perspective. In the beauty of the love of Jesus Christ for you personally.